Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Today's episode is an interview Gary did on the On Brand podcast hosted by Donnie Deutsch. We hope you enjoy.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Really thrilled to announce today's guest. He's a monster. And when I say he's a monster, he's a monster. And this guy is the definition of success, definition of multitasking, the definition of an entrepreneur. The definition of a gritty hustler, a guy I have a tremendous amount of respect for. Gary Vaynerchuk the introduction is going to take a long time because I got to set you up because the big holding company is VaynerX, and VaynerMedia is probably the biggest part of it. I don't want to call it an agency because it's more than that. It's also got Vayner Productions, Gary Media Group, The Sasha Group, Tracer, Vayner Speakers, Vayner Talent, Vayner Commerce. He's also a co-founder of Vayner Sports, Resy, Empathy Wines, a very empathetic guy, a tremendous speaker. He's also got the podcast, The Gary V Audio Experience. He's five-time bestselling author. His social media goes, of course, about 30 million followers. Gary V, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks, Tommy. It's a real honor to be on with you. Hope you've been well.
I've been well. And, before we get into it, I want to play a clip of you on The Big Idea about 14 years ago. That was my old CNBC show, for the listeners, don't ask. It was a show about entrepreneurs long before Shark Tank or any of the entrepreneur shows. And here's a 31-year-old, very feisty Gary Vaynerchuk.
You know, too many people don't understand. Sometimes, people are talking about, what are you doing now? To me, it's not about what you're doing now. It's about where you're going. You know, I was a young guy. I'm still a young guy. I want to accomplish crazy things. And there's no way I'm going to cash in. I'm going to reinvest with the people around me. Absolutely. It's hardcore.
You can't go wrong betting on talent.
No, it's
number
one.
The difference between staying small and getting big in whatever you do in life, I just want to put this out there in neon again, is it's the people, stupid. You invest in people, will always come back.
Gary, that was seems like yesterday, 14 years ago. How come I look so much fucking older and you look younger?
What happened
with that, man?
We both look like we had a good and aggressive 14 years. I look like a child. I look like the son of who I look like now. I remember that show very vividly. I always talk about that appearance quite a bit because for the listeners here, to Donnie's point, I'll say it for him, that was there was no business shows that you wanted to be on more than that show at the time. And I was very honored to be on it. And, it's really funny. Just listening to that clip real quick, it scares me to think nothing's changed from the feelings I just had, the chemicals. I feel like I'm still an extremely young guy. I have a tremendous amount of ambition. Experience matters for a reason. So you get into this, and I'm sure you feel this way. I think when you have young, raw talent, there is a level of conviction and confidence that comes along with that that is beautiful. And a lot of times you're fresh eyes and you're seeing things others can't. But there's an incredible amount of value in pattern recognition and reps. And since that day to this exact second, those 14 years make me feel really ambitious about the next 14 years. So I still have that energy.
You're 45, I'm 63. I feel like I'm just getting started also. I don't know when that stops. I don't know when it is. But to your point, the combination of what you call reps, or the 10,000 hours or whatever it is, with that kind of the raw hustle, ambition, mm-hmm. grit is a great combo. I got a great compliment. Last week, I was doing an interview with Ad Age, and they do a weekly interview with the editor does online. And I think you've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. And they said to me, this Donnie, when you were in the business, you were a big personality and there were really, other than Gary Vee, there are no personalities today. And it was a real pleasure and a real compliment being compared to you. But where you blow by me in spades is that, I built a great company. I built an agency and it was one business, and that you have just had this vision and you understood the Gary V brand, but you keep taking it to new places. And that to me is so impressed me. Because it's very easy. You build something and you stop and you go, this is great, but you keep kind of, you're on the cusp of every next thing. You just started your NFT business, your esports business. And that's, give me where the kind of vision to where it's like you're always about tomorrow. And it's always about what's next. And that's what drives Peter.
That is right. I think it comes from a couple things. One thing that I've realized about myself recently, unfortunately, I'm glad I made it back on time. I had a funeral I had to go to of an incredible woman by the name of Barbara Siegelman, who was in essence, my dad's great aunt through marriage. And this was the family that when we came from the Soviet Union that really took us under their wing and Americanized us and helped us in a lot of ways. And, you know, I was just with my mom and dad and sister, us kind of core, you know, my brother has a young family, wasn't able to make it. And I was just thinking as I was looking at my folks, because that was kind of like the rich American family side of the family, mm-hmm. right? You know, I remember the first time I saw a car phone, like in the car was in a Jaguar that Barbara Siegelman had, right?
Right.
And this is when like we were really lower middle class, da da da. And it was funny when you just asked that question, how I just put the two things that happened today together. I think the biggest thing that makes me keep going is how little I like the fruits of professional success from a financial standpoint to do things with it. I prefer the game.
It's the process, not the shit, not the stuff. That's it. I love when you give speeches to young people. And you start about stuff. Don't fucking tell me about what you're going to buy or what you're going to do.
It's really big for me. Yeah. And honestly, I want to find a little bit of balance because there's people that genuinely love the craftsmanship of a great watch having a yacht or, you know, I don't want to demonize enjoyment. For me, enjoyment is having the means to go to every playoff game of the Knicks and Jets if I want to. So I have things I'm passionate about as well. But the real answer to your question is it's more fun to me to, and I just am coming out of one from February 12th to May 12th, actually. I was going at it at a level that I probably hadn't gone at it in a while because I was building this NFT project mm-hmm. while VaynerX and VaynerMedia are exploding. It is our era. It is our time. We're in the pre-dawn of our decade for sure. You know, we've built a large company, but mm-hmm. now the world's really coming to our level and our style of advertising. And I just, you know, and it was getting nicer out. And New York and COVID's kind of like, you know, we all know what we're living through. And a lot of people were golfing and sailing and doing some stuff. And I was happy. And I realized, my God, it is my hobby. My great hobby is innovating new things. And my great talent is having intuition around new things. And, you know, it's turning out to create a unique career.
Yeah. No, the VaynerMedia is interesting. For those of you who don't know, Gary, you kind of built your bones in social media and as a digital guy, and you backed it as opposed to traditional agencies that says, we need to figure out the digital thing. You did the other way around. And you've got blue chips clients now, as blue as they get. I have to congratulate you on a spot that I saw you did recently. Fucking brilliant for Pepsi about, you know, Set to Annie. This song will come out tomorrow. And I'm not going to do it justice, but it's basically showing all the things, all the kind of disgustingly human, relatable things we do, drink from each other's things, sweat on each other, and that we're correct. Back doing it now. And give me the quick story, because you were a little, I was an outsider in my business also. And, you know, I was kind of the renegade and nobody liked me. And I was, you know, I was disrupting before I knew what disrupting was. And you've built an entire empire on that. So give me the beginning of VaynerMedia and how it's just exploded.
I'm a big fan of self-awareness. I think if you're listening to this show, this is actually a very good topic because I just have a good enough sense of who you are. If you're listening to me on Donnie's show, like you're in a pocket of interest, ambition, curiosities. I got to tell you, self-awareness is a monster that isn't talked about enough. I had built this very large business, which is what gave me the luxury to be on Donnie's big show at the time for my dad, this wine business. I did it in a very contemporary way, email, website, and the YouTube show, which was really revolutionary at the time. And I started getting attention from Silicon Valley. I became an early investor in Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and really found myself deep in Silicon Valley Web 2.0. And I started having crazy life experiences, meeting Barack Obama and talking about social media, spending dinners with Mark Zuckerberg. Like just real, I mean, like going from a liquor store in Springfield and like, you know, 24 months in these rooms that I'm in. And I remember not only being in the room, Donnie, but feeling, because I would stay in a very narrow convo. It was communication, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we were talking about healthcare.
Sure.
We weren't talking about the solar system. We were talking about my game. And my marketing to build my dad's store, I built a $3 million, almost $4 million business to a $60 million business with no money on just finding every angle that was of the second. And the KPI was a business result. Not a headline, not a metric, not a report. It was business. And I remember not only being in the room, but I remember feeling like the sharpest tool in the room.
Yeah.
And this were sharp tools. And so I didn't go crazy. I didn't go egotistical. I didn't think I was anything special. I just had a really calm year with myself in 2009-10 saying, okay, this is something. What am I gonna do about it? And I remember I leaned into another thing of mine, which is not as obvious given my energy, but I really, from both of my parents and my upbringing, have a level of humility and patience that's unique. And I said, you know what? I've got this talent. Why don't I build I'm a Star Wars guy. I'm gonna build a communications Death Star for myself. This is where you don't even know this part of the story. What's really unique about Vayner is I don't have a dream of selling it to a holding co with a huge earnout.
You get offers all the time, don't you?
All the time.
Yeah. What's the multiples today?
I mean, you know, I mean, the things I'm getting offered are crazy because they're multiple on revenue, not on EBITDA.
They're giving multiples on, what's the multiple on revenue they're giving you now?
I could probably get, you know, I've been offered something in the ballpark of 5 to 7 on revenue versus 12 to 18 on EBITDA.
That's crazy.
But what I'm really focused on is I'm building this for myself. You know, yeah. Resy was a $200 million exit to Amex. Constellation bought Empathy 18 months in. I did something with K-Swiss sneakers that really worked. I sold $40 million worth of NFTs, Donnie, in 3 weeks.
I want you in 2 minutes to our audience explain, because you're doing something different on NFTs in terms of the Gary Vee Friends. Explain an NFT and explain your NFTs.
NFT is owning a digital asset. That's exactly what it is. And I get why, you know, in the same way that I told my friends, we're all going to date online in 1997, they thought that was crazy. Or, and you innovated on this, Donnie, you know, tell the viewers at home, not every business thought they needed a website back in the day. They just didn't. Yeah. They didn't think they needed it.
Of course
they
not.
Didn't, you know, and definitely not a social network account.
Yeah.
So I believe NFTs will be omnipresent. If you have a child in your life that plays Fortnite, Roblox, Minecraft, or if you remember just 10 years ago, people spending real money buying sheep on Farmville, people buy virtual currency and that's gonna grow. You know, it's not just about the art and the collectible ownership like a painting or a sports card. What's crazy about NFTs is that they have the ability to have smart contracts underneath them. So you could buy, let me give you an example. You could buy a John McEnroe NFT. It's an image of an artist drawing Johnny Mac. But what you're really buying is underneath the image, there's a contract that says you get a 1 hour hitting session with Johnny Mac. Mm-hmm. So you have this all of a sudden.
Experiential, yeah.
Correct. And what you're going to see is every ticket, every membership, all of it is going to turn into this digital asset, this NFT. And people are going to look at each other's NFTs the way they look at each other's photos on social. What I did with VFriends was I've been infatuated with intellectual property my whole life. You can watch 100 videos on YouTube where I talk about I'm building Vayner and I'm going to buy IP and I'm going to run it through Vayner. Vayner is being built for me. We have clients today, but eventually we'll have clients and then half the company will work on my owned and operated businesses like I've done with Resy and Empathy. I thought I was going to buy the Smurfs. I thought I was going to buy Starter Jacket. I thought I was going to buy some of these things. Then NFTs came along and I said, wait a minute, I'm going to start my own. So I built my own Power Rangers, my own Care Bears, my own Scooby-Doo. They're called VFriends. They're all the things that I talk about, empathy, patience, ambition, work ethic, in character form, empathy elephant, patient panda. And I've sold these NFTs. But what I did was I added another thing that I've been wanting to do. Since I was overly affected by South by Southwest years ago, I've always wanted to throw a super conference. So along with the VFriends that people bought, Donnie, you get a 3-year ticket to something called VCon that I'm going to throw once a year where I'm just going to have you'll probably get an email from me in a couple months saying, hey, Donnie, do you want to moderate a thing or do you want to do that? Like, I'm going to throw a smorgasbord, Coachella meets South by meets Davos entrepreneurial, you know, innovation summit once a year. And then above that, there was about 2% of the tokens that had silly things like come and sit and watch a Knicks game with me, play me in ping pong, have dinner with me. So I was trying to show, because you started seeing a lot of influencers and celebrities come to the space of NFT and just put out an image. And that's not the real thing there. We're going to buy homes. We're going to buy, this is a ledger. We're going to transact. People are going to buy businesses. Like, literally people are going to NFT their homes and sell the NFT that comes with the home.
You don't need me to tell you this, but you know your NFT business is going to out-monetize all your other businesses combined 10x.
Well, I'll tell you why. The thing that is just completely have, and I do, I'm trying to learn how to pinch myself and smell a rose a little bit more. Because I've always been, I don't like it. I don't, but it also helps me not get too low when things are bad, but I'm just kind of that way. But nonetheless, Donnie, here's what's nuts. In the contract of my NFT, and what I recommend any listener that goes through it, you can put a royalty component. So there is a 10% royalty, 1% I'm giving to charity, 9% for me, on every secondary transaction. Donnie, I didn't make $72,000 the first 7 years I worked for my dad. You know, per year, not obviously cumulative.
Sure.
I made $72,000 in the last 24 hours on the royalties of my NFT.
It's crazy.
That, you know, it is crazy. I said to my brother when it kind of clicked for me in February, I said, you know, if George Lucas launched Star Wars as an NFT and then made the movies, he'd probably be the richest man on earth today. He would have never sold it to Disney because the royalties on all that secondary collectibles is just mind-boggling.
So how do I, if I'm a Pepsi client or I'm a Kraft Heinz client or everything, and I'm buying VaynerMedia, and the very thing that I'm talking to you about is your vision about the next thing, how do you keep one foot on home base to make sure of it? Like I keeping up with you on an interview is difficult. So how do I, as a client, you're building all these things. How does each thing continue to stand and flourish as the next kind of shiny toy is the thing? And I don't mean that
you mean in a good way.
Yeah.
This is where I get to give you a compliment back to the clip. It's the people, stupid.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Right,
Lisa Buckley's and Claude's and Mark Yudkins and you know, Katie Sagan's and Lisa Buckley's and Rob and Wanda. I'm at a place now 13 years in where I'm sitting with, you know, we've got globally probably 1400 employees. Mm-hmm. But there's, and you know this better than anybody, there's right now, I would say there are 47, 52 people, you know, that like are the company, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never had, you're catching me at a great time. I've never had a crew like this. Not only are they all exceptional, not only am I better at understanding the industry and what is needed to be successful, but my continuity feeling towards them, AKA, do I think that in my top 40 executives, the Ryan Harwoods, Sarah Baumans, Avery's, Gabby's, you know, do I think let me just give you the math. Of the 40 top people that I think run the company today, Allen's, Harker's of the world, I think 80% are here in a decade. That's crazy.
Yeah, I had the same thing.
You know, it was just, that's why you won, and that's why I'm going to win, and that's what always wins.
How are you dealing?
You know what? Real quick, Donnie, for everybody who's trying to build different kind of companies, think of it as an offensive line in football. If you keep the same guys together for 5 years in a row, they know everything about each other. And when you're constantly switching guys out, it's hard.
I remember, I didn't think it was a fair fight. We went in for new business because we had this SWAT team that just like, we could finish each other's set. Like it was just, we weren't inventing we just knew it. We knew what we had. We knew it was a dynasty and you built this up. How do you deal with equity? How do you deal with making people feel like they're owners of a company?
You know, early on, I had a very tough challenge. I'll be very naked here. I started the company with my brother and AJ, who's remarkable. And I was 33, he was 22, and we decided to go 50-50. My belief when I started Vayner was I would do it in 5 to 6 years. He would then kind of, I would groom him and he would kind of run it and I would be on to my next Michigas because, you know, I like the action. I knew that about myself. My brother has Crohn's disease and we were exploding from 40 to 300 people in an hour and like literally in 2 years. It was just a lot. And my brother he has so many more skills than me. But the concept of managing people's feelings was extremely like not overly exciting for him. And you know this. Mm-hmm. The ad business is the people business. Really, I think I'm in the HR business. And then we happen to do all this other stuff. And he came to me and said, I want to do something else. Hence how we did Vayner Sports. So I was in this very precarious spot with equity where I was already not in a place where to this day, I don't feel like I have as much of the company as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. And so The way I've done that is by building out all these other businesses. So for example, my co-founders in Empathy Wines started as interns a decade ago at Vayner.
Right.
These are gentlemen who literally made, who became millionaires as partners with me. And so what I'm trying to do, Donnie, and what I've been doing is A, I've created a very aggressive bonus pool for the top people. B, most of these people, and why I think I have 80% retention, which over a decade, which is a ludicrous statement.
Ridiculous.
I know that for everybody who's listening, is because of those 40 people, most of them have had a conversation with me of like, look, I'm doing a lot of things in my life. The guy who's going to have equity in VFriends, Andy K, started as an intern on my content team. He's now the president of VFriends. It's going to change his life.
Yeah.
I just tripled his double and a half his salary from VaynerMedia to VFriends. So I think it's not about competing with a holding company that might give you fractions of shares.
Sure.
It's about actually making them feel they're invested by actually doing
actually,
deep
where they
stuff
really,
together.
really have meaty stuff.
Yeah.
Is the secret sauce at the end of the day, the 30 million followers that you have out there that basically ensures everything you do has a kickstart to it?
The secret to this success is how I built the 30 million followers from scratch.
Good answer. Right.
Right, Donnie? It's the fact that I know two core things, and it's very advertiser oriented. When you think about advertising, understanding distribution, where the human's attentions are, and understanding what creative goes into that to provide a victory is the game, right? That was television, radio, outdoor, and print for a very long time, mm-hmm. direct mail. It is completely fragmented, as you know, at this point. So I think what works for me, I'll give you an example with VFriends. When I really talk about it in 3 years, people are going to ask me questions of why I left so much economics on the table on the initial launch. So as remarkable and astonishing as the number I threw out, 40, 50 million, depending on how Ethereum's moving mm-hmm. and what it's like, which is just, you know, bonkers. Even for me, I'm stunned and flattered by that success, but understood it would happen. You know, when I talk about $724,000 in secondary sales in the last 24 hours, many of these people who resold one of my tokens have made more money on that token than I made. What I understood a long time ago is if you're talented enough to know what to do with the 49% of the relationship that you have with every individual on earth, and you're able to provide that other individual 51% of the value, you will be in an incredible power spot your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I've done uniquely different than the far majority of people that have come along over the last 15 years trying to build a brand on the internet is there's two ways to really win: entertainment or education. Entertainment comes in a lot of shapes and sizes. Entertainment is being very attractive and being a model on Instagram. It could be being, you know, funny in skits on YouTube or dancing. There's a million ways to do it. Education comes in a lot of ways we see as well on LinkedIn and many others where you're talking about expertise. For me, I've played a third kind of little subtle gear, an obsession to making sure that every person that comes in gets more value than I get, which has led to very little asking and a lot of giving my best shit away for free at scale for a decade and a half. And I think that's the secret to what I do. And I think that's going to always be my strength because I know what to do with my 49%.
Yeah. You've always understood. Look, even simple advertising, traditional advertising, you got to give the consumer something. I always said you got to teach them or you got to make them laugh. You got to give. You can't. And what's interesting is your approach to business is very much your approach to motivational speaking and everything that you giving. You're not a philanthropist because you're a capitalist at the same time, but you understand that one of the bedrocks of capitalism, or at least your bedrock, has been empathy and altruism and giving. So when you're giving a speech, yes, you're making money from the speech, but what is turning you on is that you're giving nuggets and that's what drives you.
It's a tremendous observation. I actually believe that being selfish around, you know, what makes you happy triggers the ability to then be selfless at scale, which then creates selfish, you know, results. You know, I think that's exactly right. For me, I just don't understand the concept of being transactional or trying to win the short term. My dad actually used to be pretty frustrated with me in the way that I negotiated. But what I explained to him was, Dad, yes, I understand that I probably could have gotten that bottle of wine And by the way, when it's a bottle of wine, you're getting 500 cases. There's real economics when you're leaving a dollar a bottle on the table, right? But I said, Dad, listen, I've watched you since I was 14. This is now maybe when I'm 24. I'm like, I've been watching you for the last 10 years, which is maybe from 14 to 17, you wouldn't let me in the big meetings. But by 17, I was in these meetings. I go, look, you're a gangster. You're a fucking gangster negotiator. But you're squeezing the shit out of your suppliers for everybody every time.
And they're not going to go the extra distance for you.
And Donnie, what I really started seeing happening, because I'm a very observant kid, is they started the numbers. I started realizing people were coming in and starting price was higher to my dad because they were expecting.
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, and we were in the liquor business where you have to buy from the same suppliers. You can't go, you know, it's not like every other business. You're mandated by the state of which people you can work with by liquor laws. So I took a different approach and I've always left something on the table from my suppliers. And then with my consumers, my audience, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I hate when I'm asking for something. I have a new book coming out in November. I don't love the promotion of that book. I'm not against it. I'm a salesman. I'm a capitalist to your point. But I love the equity building of not asking for anything. And the longer you hold your breath, the better you're going to do on your ask.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the, if I said to you, because you immigrate over with your family at 3 years old, Queens, you come from Russia. You're living eight people in one room.
Yep.
You look back now, and there's a lot of people who start at the bottom, but not a lot of people make it where you, what, if I tap you on the shoulder, I'm sitting next to you on a subway and I'm going, Gary, what, mm-hmm. How'd this all happen?
Ridiculously good mothering.
Love that.
100%. Like, you know, it's, Donnie, you know what's funny? The reason I think I can play it humble and also don't get too high or too low, or am very happy promoting and self-promoting, is I actually think it's a bigger indicator to my parents than to me. I feel like Gary Vaynerchuk is the byproduct of Tamara and Sasha Vaynerchuk, the byproduct of the American dream, especially in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and really on forever. It's still very much there. What happened was I had a mother who built enormous self-esteem, which is imperative.
I had that. But
Donnie, I'll tell you, and I don't know if you had this with your mom, where my mom really nailed it, and where I think a lot of moms and dads miss it in this day, is she built self-esteem, but not delusion, and held me accountable. I think what we have now is non-accountable, delusional self-esteem.
100 trophies for showing up.
Then kids grow up and they get insecure because they realize it was all fake.
Yeah.
Whereas with my mom, she would be happy to smack me in my ass or even my face if I went out of line. She also really, really allowed me to breathe. I was a bad student. So it was great parenting. And then it was circumstance. You know, when you're born at the bottom, there's an inherent animalistic need to climb. And I also got to hone my skills. I was growing up in New Jersey in the 80s. So lemonade stands, car wash, shoveling snow outside for 10 hours a day, unwatched, unsupervised. The streets taught me. Yeah. And the baseball card boom, I learned my craft. And by the time I was 22, coming into my dad's business, I was and I mean this when I say this, by the time I walked in at 22, I was a 16-year veteran of business. I've been doing business every day of my life, trying to sell something, trying to build something. So I think natural talent meets circumstance. And that's really what I am. I'm a nature nurture byproduct like most people are. And it just kind of quote unquote worked out for me.
What I love about just about every one of your business philosophies and every kind of instinct that you have and every philosophy is about the human condition. That is what you so understand.
Yes.
And it starts with self-awareness also. But as I listen to your speeches and every one of your philosophies, it starts with understanding flesh and blood and humanity. You're behaviorist. And that's what I find so fascinating about all. Speaking of human though, one thing, a billion dollar question.
Please.
You get up at 5, you work out, you work from a 7 in the morning to 11 at night. You got 2 kids. How do we do that?
Yes. First of all, I wake up at 7 and work out and more and more I get a ton of sleep. You know, I think it's about, for me, it's compartments, right? It's all in or all out. That's what works for me, right? So now my fathering explodes because this virtual world, is the greatest mitzvah for me of all time. The fact that everyone's now being conditioned to do a Zoom meeting, there's not a single...
What a gift. What a gift. Yeah.
It's what a gift. What a gift. And so for me, it's prioritizing. It's being checked out on the weekends. It's doing things. It's, you know, I'm a byproduct of a dad that worked all day. A lot of us are.
Me
that
too.
Still happens
same,
a lot. And vice versa. Moms that work all day. I don't find it overtly, you know, challenging. It's just about prioritizing. And actually, I'll give you the real answer for a lot of the parents. It's not overjudging yourself and beating yourself up. Too many parents miss one thing and they think they're this horrible person. Kids are resilient. We remember the things, not always the missed things. And as long as you try and have good intent, most things will work out.
I had the greatest parents, the greatest dad in the world, who all he did was work. But I had the best dad because I knew I still came first. I never counted what he wasn't at. I remember, with my kids, I had the advantage. I sold my company young. I actually regret it. I listen to you, I get jealous. I get jealous because I was at my space where you are now. I was king of the, I owned the fucking industry.
I
was Michael Jordan at the time. I couldn't, remember. Like they were coming to us. I was telling clients, go fuck them. So I mean, the very, the basic thing. And the reason I sold was, you solved this problem. I didn't have the vision here. I would walk into a 3-hour meeting. I knew how I was going to end in 30 seconds and I was bored. I was bored with my success. I felt I had won the game.
Smart.
I felt that.
You know what's funny? I lived that same life.
No, but you solved it. You've solved it by creating new mountains. I went into TV. I did these other things, but I felt like I won. You know, we've agency of the year.
I totally
4 to 5
get it.
Years. I was making a ton of money.
Because you did.
I didn't sell because of and I say to people, don't ever sell. You can't go visit your money. Sell because you're ready to do something else. You know, they're like, oh, I got this number. Great. You'd be fucking miserable. Somebody could give you $5 billion unless otherwise you could buy the Jets. So that might make it work. That's the only reason you're going to monetize it.
Only one.
But, you know, that's a terrible mistake people make. And you don't do it for that reason. And I was bored. And the other thing I found really difficult, and I wonder how you deal with this, as an alpha male, past a certain age, being in a service business is really hard. You're sitting across the table from an advertising director that you wouldn't hire 9 levels below. I don't mean the word levels below you, but you wouldn't even hire at your company.
There's not a meeting I'm in that I don't think I have more capability than the CEO of the company of the meeting I'm in.
So how do you now?
Patience, humility, knowing that I'm eating crow in this situation is actually the thing that's going to make me win the whole ball game. I convert that meeting not into I'm in the ring and having the fight in the main event. Mm-hmm. I convert it into I'm in the gym 8 weeks before the main event, putting in the work. So this, even what may look like a big meeting and a big pitch. I mean, Donnie, to be very frank, I felt that way from the day I started when I didn't even have the W's in the industry.
Yeah.
To your point, I've enjoyed winning and being successful in this industry because I like it. I like a lot of the people, but it does have an establishment. As both you and I have lived, there is an establishment, and being anti-establishment is kind of fun.
So much fun, isn't it? Isn't it great?
But for me, it's one more rep. It's another sit up in the gym. It's another 45-minute hitting the bag session because I'm getting dangerously close to having that pass the baton moment where it will thrive without me. I will still be able to stay very close to it. Very much like I've had an incredible rep at this with my dad's wine business.
Yeah.
I'm still very much intertwined there. And I'll do the same with Vayner whenever that time's right. And I just know that it's worth it eating that crow.
One last question and then observation on my end. I ask this of everybody, but I'm most interested to hear from you. What is the Gary V brand?
That's a great question. I actually think the Gary V brand is executed on something I believe in, which is every brand is actually consumed differently at the consumer level than people realize, right? People think Nike, it doesn't stand for just do it. It means something different for people everywhere. So I think for a lot of people, it's work ethic, grind, that hustler thing. I think for an emerging group of people, it's, whoa, this dude is really pushing kindness and empathy and patience and these very grandma virtues and he's making them cool. That's neat. For other people, it's innovation and seeing around corners. To me, believe it or not, Donnie, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. What I think about is doing the best things I can and hoping that the other person on the other side consuming it, if they choose to, extracts some sort of value out of it. For me, it's for the way I see it within myself, it's the obsession of the process.
Your brand, I'm going to break it down for you. Your brand is about giving. Mm-hmm. And it, in its essence, whether it's giving your intellectualism in terms of motivation, whether it's understanding the dynamic, the consumer dynamic, and your 49, 51%, you have taken everything by giving everything. And it's a really interesting thing about it. And I've really enjoyed, I have to tell you, as kind of an elder statesman, as a guy who maybe passed the baton, I've so enjoyed and impressed what you've done over the last 15 years or so. You were kind of a punk on my show. You know, you had that wine business, I was like, oh, here's this guy. He's kind of, but I knew there was something special, but just watching your career and watching what you're doing now, I know it's just a good beginning. And I remember I always used to laugh for those in the audience that don't know that your one goal is to buy the New York Jets. And I go, okay.
That's it.
And more than ever, after spending a half hour or so with you today, I do think that's I don't know what the Johnsons are thinking, but I think if anybody can pry away from it, it's you. Keep doing it, man. Keep fighting, keep kicking, keep scratching, and keep setting a good example for everybody.
Cheers to you, and thank you for having me on. It was an honor. Stay
well. You got it, buddy.
Bye, everyone. As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm gonna have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks so much, Gary. Today's amazing five-star review reads, "Gary, you have inspired me through the last couple of years how to shut out the noise and love the game more than what it gives to me. You being yourself and giving out your best to others is what makes you unique, inspiring, and successful. The world would not be the same without you." Thank you so much for that amazing review. And to anybody else listening out there, if you leave us a review, you might just get shouted out in the next episode.